Good morning. It is approximately 8:32 a.m. on Monday, February 27, 2017. This is a Public Service Commission meeting in the Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the State Capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. The purpose of this meeting is to conduct a public hearing on proposed changes to the Commission's administrative rules. I am Commissioner Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. Commissioner Julie Fedorchak is unable to participate in person because of a family medical appointment, but she will be participating by phone, and as well as we record these. And so I know on situations where I've had to step out of hearings or those types of things, and we can go back and review the recording and as well as the paper documented information. So she certainly will be participating, but just not in person. The rules cases being heard today are two of them. Case number PU-16-775. In this case, the Commission is proposing an amendment to North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-06-08-01, subsection 5C2, to add the impact on light-sensitive land uses to the siting selection criteria for wind farms, which must be at an acceptable minimum. The Commission is further proposing to add a new subdivision to subsection 6 of section 69-06-08-01, to add a new policy criteria to allow preference to be given to wind energy projects that commit to installing aircraft detection and lighting systems subject to Federal Aviation Administration approval. The Commission also is proposing to amend North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-09-02-35 to adopt the 2017 update to the National Electric Safety Code. The other case is number PU-17-33. In this case, the Commission is proposing to amend North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 690909 to strengthen the wind farm decommissioning requirements, including a requirement that decommissioning plans with financial assurances for decommissioning expenses be filed for Commission approval prior to construction. The introductory and closing comments apply in both cases. The Commission has scheduled this public hearing to allow everyone the opportunity to submit information or comments concerning the adoption of proposed changes to the North Dakota Administrative Code. All comments received at this public hearing will be considered by the Commission, together with all other written comments received. Written comments may be submitted until the close of business on March 9th of 2017. Public Service Commission will consider all the comments received and address the comments in its written decision. Anyone may request a copy of the decision, and it will be provided via email or regular mail. The decision and all other filings in each case will also be available on our website, which is www.psc.nd.gov. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet and is also being electronically recorded, as I mentioned. We ask anyone who would like to comment to take the witness chair or the stand and speak into the microphone so that the broadcast and recording will be of good quality. When the red light is on, the broadcast is live. And the red light is over here by Mr. Call. Everyone will be given an opportunity to speak. Please identify yourself for the record before you speak and speak slowly and clearly. If you have a prepared statement or written copy of your statement is appreciated and will be helpful to us. There's also a sheet somewhere here. Is it at the lectern there? Okay. For one for each of the cases. So please sign that sheet for each case in which you're interested. The first case that I'll now open the hearing for comments on the wind farm siting proposed rules, case number PU-16-775. That's the lighting one. Does anyone wish to testify on case 16-775 concerning wind farm siting requirements and criteria?
Thank you.
When you're ready, Mr. Lean.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry Lean, and I am a public utility analyst with the Public Service Commission. The purpose of my testimony here is to explain the proposed changes to the Commission's administrative rules pertaining to the siting of energy conversion and transmission facilities, Article 6906 of the North Dakota Administrative Code, promulgated under North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 4922. The purpose for these rule changes are to update and codify the Commission's existing energy conversion facility siting criteria to add the impact on light-sensitive land uses to the selection criteria, which must be at an acceptable minimum. The Commission is further proposing to add new policy criteria to allow preference to be given to wind energy projects that commit to installing aircraft detection and lighting systems subject to Federal Aviation Administration approval. The FAA requires flashing red warning lights on wind turbines to avoid aircraft collisions with turbines. These flashing lights have long been a source of light pollution on the rural sky at night. Aircraft detection and lighting systems are a new technology coming available that uses radar to detect when an aircraft is in the vicinity, so the flashing lights can be turned on only when needed. The Commission is already giving consideration to the use of aircraft detection lighting systems subject to FAA approval when siting wind energy projects. These changes proposed here would codify that existing practice. Please note that the Commission Council has advised that the selection criteria change proposed in subsection 6906.0801, subsections 5C2, should be in a new subsection, and so it is likely that an edit will be made in the drafting of a final rule. So that concludes my testimony, and I would be happy to answer any questions at this time.
I only have one question, and I think you said that the Commission is already giving consideration to these lighting requirements. That has been a requirement of the last several wind farm siting approvals, is that correct? Pending the FAA approval.
Yes, there's been a commitment by the applicants to make all commercially reasonable efforts to install it. And so that's been in the orders.
Okay. And then your testimony on the other case will come when we start that case, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. I don't know if there's any questions from Commissioner Fedorchak. Not hearing any. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks.
Does anyone else have comments on case number PU-16-775?
My name is David Shepard. I'm with a company called Drake Lighting. I'm here representing a company out of Canada, which is Technisgrove. I'm their U.S. distributor.
And what's your company, sir?
Drake, like the duck.
Okay.
And the reason I'm here is to
I think the mic's off.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that's a lot better. So my background is in lighting, obviously, and that's what we do. We provide aviation obstruction lighting on wind farms. Probably about 4 years ago, they started the process of coming up with the ADLS system, and that's where you would turn the lights off. And that's actually been approved, and it's done per site basis now. So that's what this topic is regarding. There are new technologies that are on the way that lend to be a little bit better for light mitigating, because obviously the ADLS was designed for that purpose, to mitigate the lighting on a wind farm. the new technologies that we represent is a what we call LIDS, and it's light intensity dimming solution. So what we do is, instead of trying to find a 1 square meter object over a 50 square mile area to turn the lights on at 100%, we stop worrying about the planes and we start looking towards visibility. To better understand where the reason we have light problem is because in the 70s, when we started doing the standards for aviation obstruction lighting, it was determined that we would use the worst-case scenario. So what's the worst visibility? What's the lowest qualified pilot that would be out there? What's the tallest tower? All these factors kind of combined together, and they came out with a rule that said that you had to have 1.9-kilometer visibility to see the light through 1 mile visibility. So when you factor all that in and you find out that 85% of the time we have 5 kilometers or better visibility. So all of us have seen lights on towers where there's a flashing light and then under that is a really small, steady burning light. That steady burning light is only 32 candelas, and you can see that 4 miles in a clear sky. So our technology that we've got in place with the FAA today is that we would basically put visibility sensors across the farm, and then we would lower the light's intensity all the way down to 200 candelas. The importance of that is that, one, it makes it across all farms, and you can easily put this system in and use it at multiple farms. Some of the things that you don't think about when it comes to ADLS systems is that there are restrictions to ADLS, the terrain of the surrounding terrain around the farm. That could actually impact whether or not the ADLS could actually be used or not used. You have to figure a area around the wind farm that sticks out 3 nautical miles past the wind farm. So we have 3 nautical miles, and then you go up 1,000 feet above that. So it's, in some cases, it can be substantial, the area. So in most cases, wind farms would require multiple radar systems. So you may have 3 or 4 radar systems. The complexity of getting those radar systems to communicate together, also the area or the volume that you're trying to evaluate. What can happen is that the lights can be on quite frequently. So it's a good thing, but then at the same time, it's not a panacea. The lights are always going to be coming on. It's a matter of how often do they come on in a given period. But any 1 square object will turn the lights on. And what happens is they turn on at their highest intensity. So they'll come on at 2,000 candelas. So you're in pitch dark, and then you put on 150 lights at 100% intensity, it's going to be somewhat more discouraging than if they were on all the time. Hopefully I'm making that point across. And obviously in a hearing we probably can't do it, but I actually have a light here that we can actually see the dimming of the light and actually see what that intensity would look like. What I'm hoping is that in this ruling that you would open up that to consider new technologies that are on the horizon, because there's going to be several coming down the line. And as they come out, they may even combine some of these technologies. But we have installed the first system in the United States. We're about to the point where we're going to turn it on. We'll start that program over the next 3 months. And then we'll be able to start issuing to wind farms using the LID system or light intensity dimming solution. The system has been used several times in Canada now, and it's working great. The communities love it. What happens to people in the – it's hard to understand visually what 2,000 candelas looks like versus 200 candelas, but it's substantial. And it makes the lights kind of disappear into the background. That's the one reason that it's being approved quickly in Canada. And I'm available for questions as well, whatever you need.
Okay. Well, I don't have any questions. It's a good explanation. I appreciate you bringing it forward. And did you have any a copy of your testimony or anything
I
to
I can make
present
one.
For evidence? Yeah. I do appreciate you joining us today. I think useful information. Thank you.
Mr. Shepherd, before you get off the stand, would you just mind stating your name and your position on the record, too?
My name is David Shepherd. I'm president of Drake Lighting, and we are the U.S. distributor for Technostrobe, which is out of Canada.
And would you be interested in filing any sort of description of your technology with the commission as well?
Yes, we can. This was very quick for me. I didn't know this was happening, so I think it was last week, so that's the reason that I'm here. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other testimony on the lighting systems. Andy, I appreciate the written, but just for the meantime, would you spell your last name, please?
Sure. It's B-U-N-T-R-O-C-K.
And you said Minocan?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead, Andy. Thanks.
All right. Dear North Dakota PSC commissioners, my name is Andy Buntrock from Minocan, North Dakota, and I'm here today to personally support the language you have proposed to add a requirement for
aircraft detection in lighting systems for wind energy conversion facilities in Chapter 690608, Section 6, Part N, as well as the language in Chapter 690909 to strengthen the decommissioning rules for wind facilities prior to construction. I am really glad to see the Commission starting to level the playing field for energy in our state. I believe in a blended portfolio of energy sources, but we need to ensure those sources are competing on a level playing field. Despite your efforts here, wind is still enjoying a subsidy from the federal government, according to the EIA. This is drastically impacting coal dispatch, and we have already seen shutdowns and possible job losses in the newspaper. You will have wind lobbyists that will tell you with new regulation they will have to pull out of the state, or that this will greatly hamper the build-out in our state. If putting some simple restrictions on to help ensure that wind facilities are decommissioned properly, similar to coal, natural gas, and oil will hurt them financially, we should probably take a closer look. Or if putting increased setback limits in place means site selection will cost slightly more, then we'll need to do that to ensure those non-participating in the facility are treated fairly. We're standing in the threshold of a wind facility build-out that will change our landscape for our and our kids' lifetimes. We will see massive towers 600 to 700 feet high, according to GE's website, that will span tens of thousands of acres of North Dakota pastures, fertile fields, and next to rural homes. If not sited properly, you will see these facilities hamper future development of our metropolitan areas like Bismarck. On top of the natural and physical impacts of these towers, there is a human impact as well, and I would like to tell you about this firsthand. My wife, Carrie Ann, and my two little girls of 3 and 1 year old live in the front lines of a proposed project just southeast of Bismarck. We purchased this land back in 2006 with our savings and have poured sweat equity and all our pennies into it to make it a home for our kids, raise a few calves, and learn the important lessons of a farm affords. We built a home out there and are now facing a nightmare of a potential wind project that began after we were owners. Could we have signed up? Yes, we could have. But we have a special situation on our hands, in that my wife, Carrie Ann, has epilepsy and we aren't able to control her seizures with medications anymore. Our land borders one of a few participating landowners in our area, and just to the south of us a few miles, we have another neighbor who has been diagnosed with epilepsy as well and whom has similar concerns. The current setbacks in 690608 for both dwellings and non-participating lands are not sufficient to protect us. Did you know that right now in our county a hog facility setback limit is dwelling from a dwelling is 1.5 miles. That's nearly 8,000 feet compared to a setback of 1,750 feet for a 600 to 700 foot wind tower. These commercial facilities emit audible noise, can be seen for almost 50 miles away, and can potentially throw ice. They have documented to emit both shadow flicker and flash that has been proven to stimulate seizure activity, according to a study in Epilepsia, the Journal of the International League Against Epilepsy. This study was done by Graham Harding at the Neurosciences Institute in Austin University and goes on to note that the risk of seizures does not decrease appreciably until the viewing distance exceeds 100 times the height of the hub. Tell me, commissioners, if you had a family member with an illness and the very place you lived in became poisonous for them, what would you do? Sell the place, perhaps? Then again, who would want to purchase a place that has neighboring wind towers over it? This is what my family is dealing with to purchase. This is what my family is dealing with these days, and I would like your support in striking a balance between non-participating landowners and wind facilities before it is too late and this build-out is finished. To do this, I would like to recommend the following amendments for consideration. Uphold the changes you are proposing today. These will reduce light pollution and ensure bonding and financial assurances prior to construction, so that we won't have a boneyard of unused turbines around our landscape. This will also hold wind facility owners accountable to similar standards as those energy sources such as coal. Increase setbacks based on non-participating landowner borders, not just dwellings. We need setbacks that will still allow wind build-out while protecting property rights that do not of those who do not sign. Just because someone doesn't have a dwelling on their property now doesn't mean their property rights should be infringed upon if they want to construct at a later date, but are now surrounded by wind towers within 1.1 times the height of the tower from their property. In most counties and townships, you would not be able to obtain a building permit at these distances. A setback of 10 times the height of the tower would allow for sufficient setback for those not participating while not overly impeding potential siting locations for the facilities. Third, impose a penalty and enforcement action for coercion and false statements by wind facilities and their representatives. Burley County has rulings on this, but this should be moved to a statewide level to ensure those being asked to sign contracts are being treated fairly and just. And finally, step up violations and penalties for those facilities that are violating the very rules that are in place. There are too many reports out there of decibel levels that are above the allowable limits, damaged roads that are not repaired, issues with maintenance on towers that are not handled quickly by the wind facility owners. There needs to be accountability for those that are not being a good neighbor that we all strive to be. I sincerely appreciate your time and consideration on this matter. These thoughts come from me and my family personally, and we truly think there is a middle ground that would support a strong North Dakota economy with many different wind sources, many different energy sources, while protecting the livelihoods and property of those of us that live here. Andy and Carrie Ann Buntrock.
Thank you, Andy. I presume that your testimony is for both of these siting cases.
Correct.
Or, not siting cases, but these proposed rule changes, both the lighting one as well as the decommissioning, is how it sounds.
Correct.
So it'll be the same testimony for each. And I will point out, I tend to give additional flexibility to people who aren't professionals up here and lobbying all the time. Some of your testimony strays a little bit from the actual rules as being proposed here. I will just want to take the opportunity to explain if the commission did choose to do some of the other things that you were talking about, the additional setbacks and such, that would just because of the way the rulemaking process works, because that was not advertised as part of this rulemaking procedure, would be required to be a separate rulemaking procedure.
Certainly.
But I appreciate your testimony on these cases today. I don't have any further questions for you. I don't know if Mr. Hsu does.
Sir, will you be filing your comments with the commission?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for being here. And I probably should have mentioned it at the beginning. Any other folks that are here that want to testify, don't be at all bothered by the fact that we're elevated here a little bit. That's just to help short guys like me be able to see everybody. And I've been a rancher most of my life till the last few years of coming here. So if you don't have to be a professional with offices full of a bunch of books to come and testify. We want to hear from everybody. So thank you for being here, Andy. Any other testimony? On this first case. As Commissioner Kalk used to say, going once, going twice. Okay. We'll now close the portion of the hearing on case number PU-16-775, and we need to just break for a moment to start a separate recording.